So today we have 244. Yesterday, Karunamayi Mataji presented. Yeah, you presented 42, 43. Flowery words of the Vedas. Okay. About men of small knowledge. And text 44, in fact, is connected to the previous, because it says, it gives the conclusion about this man attached to the flowery words of the Vedas. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Saha Gana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay. Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam Taya Pahrita Chetasam Taya Pahrita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Budhi Vyavasayatmika Budhi Samadhovna Vidhiyate Samadhovna Vidhiyate Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam Taya Pahrita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Budhi Samadhovna Vidhiyate Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam Taya Pahrita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Budhi Samadhovna Vidhiyate Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam Taya Pahrita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Budhi Samadhovna Vidhiyate Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam Bhagrita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Budhi Samadhovna Vidhiyate Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam Taya Pahrita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Budhi Samadhovna Vidhiyate.
Anyone else? Okay.
Bhoga, material enjoyment. Aishvarya, and opulence. Rasaktadanam, for those who are attached. Taya, by such things. Apahrita cetasam, bewildered in mind. Vyavasaya atmika, fixed in determination. Buddhi, devotional service to the Lord. Samadho, in the controlled mind. Na, never. Vidhiyate, does take place. Translation by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Please repeat. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Purport. Samadhi means fixed mind. The Vedic dictionary Nirukti says Samyak adhiyate smin atma tatva yathatmyam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for a person interested in material sense enjoyment, nor for those who are bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of material energy. Hare Krishna. Voga Ishvarya prasaktanam taya pahrita cetasam yavasayatmika buddhi samadho navidhiyate. We are in the summary of Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna is giving the glimpse of what he will be speaking in the next chapter. So here we have about the glimpse about jnana and Ashtanga Yoga, because its previous verse was that those who are bewildered of flowery words of the Vedas, so means those who see the ultimate goal of the Vedas in performing sacrifices. Means those who are karmis. Karmis means those who work for results, and the results are to elevate oneself to the higher planetary systems. And then the so this is in previous two verses, 42 and 43, and here Krishna concludes that for those who are in this mood of elevating oneself or searching for the material pleasures, their minds cannot be fixed, and this is the phrase avyava sayatmika buddhi. Buddhi refers to the intelligence, in fact. That's the translation of this of the Sanskrit word. So buddhi means intelligence, and intelligence fixed in determination, yavasaya atmika. And this intelligence, which is fixed in determination in the or on the Supreme Lord, that's what is needed to make progress in spiritual life, to make progress in yoga. Because yoga is about controlling the mind and senses, and this will be described in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And the general knowledge or science of yoga, as described by Prabhupada in the purports and spoken by Krishna, the science of yoga is is like very concise, very, very precise. And we learn from that that there is only one yoga process, okay? There is one yoga process, and but according to the different stages we are in this process, we can call this process differently. It may be called karma, it can be called jnana or ashtanga, but the culmination is bhakti. Because, as I mentioned, the yoga is about controlling the senses and the mind, but this is also not the complete science, because complete science includes also the emotions. And only in bhakti yoga we can we control also emotions. How I will tell later. But Prabhupada is developing in the purport, very short purport, but is developing a little bit the idea of samadhi. Samadhi, as he translates controlled mind, but samadhi is very, very key word in the yoga process, because in general yoga is meant, it's the root verb of the word yoga is yuj, means to link. Okay, so yoga in general is to transcend the material senses, material mind, and reach something which is beyond, okay, something spiritual, because that's the essence of the yoga science. We start from our conditioning, means we are conditioned to certain senses, sense perceptions, to certain ways of thinking, etc. This is our conditioning. We cannot see more than we see. We cannot see what is behind the wall. We see just to the wall, etc. This is, we are limited by our senses, but the way of how our mind works. And the yoga is to get the knowledge, because this is a science. Science is about knowledge, about knowing something, about what's the word? To know, yes, to know, and to recognize, to examine. What knowledge does? Help me. Knowledge to general know. To realize, to. I'm looking for the specific word, but to understand, yes. Okay, to experience also, it's like realized. So the science is about I would say broadening our perspective, okay, to make our experience, our life, our existence richer, okay, richer. And more broad. Okay, the science is trying, even material science. What science is trying to do is trying to make our life easier. It's trying to improve in general our life. Okay, the same with the science of yoga. Science of yoga tries to make our existence more blissful, more conscious, more. I wanted to say more eternal, can I say more eternal? Do you understand what I mean by more eternal? Because in our conditioning, we think we are just, the body will live 100 years. But then when we realize certain aspects of the science, we just realize we are not the body who lives 100 years. So in this way, the science makes us more eternal. Anyway, the point is the science tries to improve our life. So the science of yoga also. But the specific or uniqueness of the science of yoga is that science of yoga is aiming at something spiritual, something which is beyond senses and beyond the mind. So something which is beyond the reach of our tools we have to use in the world we live. Okay, we use senses, we use mind. These are our tools to survive. And again, the material science bases on the development of mind. The material science bases the evolution of the man. That the mind was more and more developed, the brain was bigger and bigger, and you know the people became more and more civilized. So that's what material science is. But anyway, these are our tools we use to use to live in the material world. So yoga reaches beyond, and we don't have anything else. So we have to use these tools to reach there, What is the use of these tools, of the senses of mind? So, as we know from Bhagavad Gita, the material body consists of several elements. It's the gross body with five elements, and then the subtle body, this mind, intelligence, and false ego. So, to reach beyond mind and senses, we use the intelligence. So, and this is refers here as to in this verse, as buddhi. Okay, so we use intelligence, and by discrimination, we turn our focus from matter to spirit. Okay, and that's what we do to reach this state of samadhi. And because samadhi is the point at which we are no longer focused on the matter, but we are fully focused on spirit. And that's the samadhi, as I mentioned, is the key word in the yoga processes, because in Ashtanga yoga process, the samadhi is the highest level, the highest level of achievement. It is described in the sixth chapter. We have all these stages, do's and don'ts, yama, niyama, and then pratyahara and pranayama. And then we have meditation, contemplation, and samadhi. So at these last stages, when the senses are more or less curbed by the previous processes, the last stages deal with the mind. So meditation is, it is said, the definition is that when you can focus at least two senses on one object, this is meditation. Okay, at least two senses. So you meditate. So for example, you look at something and hear. You mean you meditate. Okay, or you yeah, like TV. Yes, people are meditating for hours. But that's the point. The point is on what you meditate. That's the different point. But the process of meditation is very natural. We all meditate every day. So, for example, yeah, TV is a good example. But for example, you have an ice cream. You look at it and you lick it. So two senses, taste and sight. So you meditate on ice cream. You can meditate on anything. And that's the beginning process which leads to samadhi. So the yoga is very natural. It's a very natural process. And then contemplation. It is said that when you focus the senses at least for I know the different timings, so because there are sources who give you the timing. So I've heard that if you can focus the senses at least for 2 hours, or 2 hours, or 1 hour, 45 minutes, something, on one object, this is contemplation. So you focus completely for a period of time. So you don't divert your attention. Okay, so contemplation may be when you go, I don't know, to the cinema, even, maybe that. No, maybe it's too shallow. But when you, we say sometimes we contemplate the art, okay? People contemplate the art. It means that they absorb themselves in some art object, the painting or sculpture, etc. So they are focused completely. Everything what is outside doesn't exist. You just focus on this and stay in this state. You can contemplate on anything there in different traditions, even religious traditions, Christian traditions. There are contemplations on Jesus, for example, or something. Just to focus mind and senses on something for longer period of time, and then we go to samadhi, because samadhi is a complete absorption in the object of we are meditating on or contemplating. And from one source I know the division into, it's called savikalpa samadhi and nirvikalpa samadhi. So savikalpa samadhi is when you absorb yourself completely with the mind and senses, and something, of course, it may be the internal light or something, but it's up to 21 days. So you just, for many days you can be in samadhi, but you come out. You cannot control it completely. So this is not perfect yet. So the perfect samadhi is when you can stay in the state of absorption for 21 days, and then you can, after that, you have control. You can go into samadhi and out as you wish. That's the technical description. So this samadhi is complete absorption into one object. Okay, it may be light in impersonal Ashtanga yoga, etc. So because this is the science. That's the beauty of India. This science is known. It's known in India. That's why we all are fascinated by India, and India is the cradle of all the spiritual sciences, because somehow or other there in Bharatavarsha the saintly yogis were able to discover this science for us. So there are many stories about how yogis come into samadhi and stay in this state, and then different things happen to them, but they are not affected. That's, I know one story about the yogi who went into samadhi on the bank of Ganges, and there was a flood, and he disappeared, and after a few months, someone was digging in the mud and dug this yogi out of the mud, and he was just meditating. So there are many stories, you know, many stories from India. But there are also many cheaters, because samadhi, you have to know the science and to recognize the real yogi. You have to also be knowledgeable. So there is one story about the farmer who was crossing, who had a donkey and who was crossing the river with his donkey, and there was the water was deep and donkey drowned. So he was. This was his only animal. So he was so shocked that he sat on the bank of the river and just was thinking, what I do now, it's such a loss. And I was sitting like that one day, second day, third day. It was not moving. And after 3 days, people started coming to him and bringing him the food and considered him the saint. But then he woke up and went away. So it means that not everyone who sits in the shock may be a yogi. But the point is, samadhi is a state when you don't recognize or you are focused on something which is not material completely. Okay. And now we can ask how does it work in bhakti? Because we don't shut down the senses in bhakti yoga. We don't say, okay, now we don't smell, don't touch, don't see, etc., etc. So the bhakti is it may be called the complete yoga or total yoga, because it engages. Something characteristic. This characteristic is only the feature of engaging the senses. It's the specific characteristic of bhakti, that in bhakti we do not shut down the senses, but we engage them. And the more we engaged, the more we reach the samadhi state. How come? Because the source of the meditation in every type of yoga is the super soul or impersonal feature of the Lord. But anyway, we know that the source of the Paramatma, the source of the Brahmajyoti effulgence or impersonal feature, is Krishna. So by engaging the senses and mind, of course, in senses in service to Krishna and mind in meditation of Krishna, we are, as Prabhupada mentions in the verses in the sixth chapter, we are immediately in the samadhi state, because we contact the source of everything. We contact the source of the all spiritual energy. We contact the absolute. So by thinking about Krishna and by serving him, by using our senses in his service, we are in deep meditation. It's not meditation, it's not contemplation, but we are in samadhi. So it's up to us how long we stay in this samadhi. But the process is very simple. As long as we do this, we stay in samadhi. As long as we think of Krishna, as long as we serve Krishna. So this is samadhi. This is the highest achievement of yoga. And because this is not, Prabhupada said, it's simple. Because it's simple to think of Krishna. It's simple to do service, but it's not easy. Because we are not trained. That's why Prabhupada gave us the program, that we may train our mind, train our body and senses to stay in samadhi. Because to be in samadhi, it's not difficult. Okay, it's simple. You just engage your mind and senses in the service, and you are in samadhi. But to stay in this samadhi, that's the different thing. Because our habits don't allow us to stay too long. We have habits habits from the previous lives to be engaged in the in the material world to search the source of happiness outside, not in Krishna, but in other, in Krishna's energy, material energy. So this this samadhi we are describing, Prabhupada writes about it that this samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyment. Okay, not for those who are bewildered by such temporary things. So the as I mentioned at the beginning, the process, the science of yoga is simple. You have to focus your, you have to move your focus from matter to spirit. Okay, the source of our spiritual energies is Krishna. So that's why the bhakti, it is said that's very easy, the easiest process for Kali Yuga people, because you don't have to undergo all the processes preliminarily, like in Ashtanga Yoga, Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, etc., etc. You don't do this, but you can immediately connect to the source. So it's simple, but on the other, that's the advantage of Kali Yuga, that we have this opportunity, and especially because we have Mahamantra, which engages our senses, almost all the senses. If you are in kirtan, all the senses are engaged. There is no sense which is not engaged. Because if kirtan is intense, you sweat and you taste your sweat. So even tastes is engaged. So that's the most complete and most simple the yoga process that takes our interest from matter into spirit in very easy way, very simple way. So the only thing we have to do, we have to train ourselves to stay in this state, in the samadhi. Do you have any questions? Comments? Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. 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 Yes, yes. That's the beauty of bhakti. It's like with the chanting holy name. It is said that even one who even once chants the holy name is purified. How come? Because he comes into contact with the potent spiritual energy, with Krishna. Krishna is not different from his name. So as long as he chants, even when he chants just to make fun of devotees, he is at this very moment, for 1 second, he is pure, he is purified. But then he just comes back to the material consciousness very after a second. Someone may say, oh, Hare Krishnas are coming. And at this moment he is purified. And then he comes back because he just stops doing this. Okay, so our training is to make our make the new habits. Okay, habit of being in samadhi all the time, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Okay, because otherwise we have this habit to go back. Okay, so even someone is neophyte, just at the moment he serves Krishna, he is in samadhi, and that's why devotees are coming. Because if you give anyone a little bit of devotional service, you can see sometimes, even you know, accidental people, they are happy to do something. It's they don't know why, they just help devotees, or they feel enlivened. If you have Harinam on the street. So some people are dancing. Why? They don't know. But they are in samadhi. They are under the influence of spiritual energy, and they do this because they are in samadhi. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, in the case of bhakti yoga, the samadhi is a state of devotional service, okay? You perform devotional service and you are in samadhi. So it's technical. Samadhi is a technical term, okay? For the state when you are no longer connected to material energy, but to spiritual energy. And then when you do this, then you develop different emotions, different stages of relationship with Krishna. So this is different. What happens in the relationship with Krishna, how you serve him with spontaneously or under the regulations, or you develop feelings, and there is no limit, because the Krishna is unlimited, so this you can develop this more and more. So the samadhi is like distinction, is like the point at which you cross on the spiritual side. But what happens on the spiritual side, it's different. It's not that. It's like the there. You are there, you are in samadhi, and then there are different things going on. So it's not this is the relationship. So this prema bhava, it's in there, in samadhi, in this realm. Okay? That's the only relationship. Okay. See, Anartha, this is, I can see what you want to connect. Samadhi is a very general term, okay? What we are speaking of is the stages of development, of prema, from Shraddha to prema. So, in this development, you are sometimes in samadhi, sometimes not. Yeah? With anartha nivritti, you sometimes work on them, but they come, so you are not. So this, you know, that's the position until we are trained. We just samadhi out, in out, in out. That's why we may say sometimes devotees are struggling. The struggle is not that it's difficult, but that we are, you know, crossing the border here and there, and it's tiring. We would like to stay on one side, but we cannot, so we go back, and it's terrible. So we go back again, and until we, you know, we will be able to stay on this side, on samadhi side, on side of devotional service permanently, then we will, you know, we will be struggling here and there. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. You are on time to ask the question.
Yeah. Right. Picture. I just defeated the whole purpose of the sunglasses.